Welcome to the Bethany Covenant Church Sermon Podcast. We are a multi-generational community in Berlin, Connecticut. Our services are held Sundays at 9:30 a.m., and you can find out more about us at www.bethanycovenant.org.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Welcome to those joining online as well. Well, even on a kind of a gray day like this, it's been a delight to be surrounded by the sights, the smells of spring, to feel things greening up, to see things budding and flowering, and to get this sense of renewal and renewed life. This spring, we've been exploring together how God has always been at work in this renewal process, bringing things to life and back to life and breathing abundant life into creation, and specifically into us as we seek to follow Jesus. Jesus, who came and died and rose from the dead in order to give us the opportunity for this new, abundant life. And as people who have chosen to follow Jesus, we find our lives being continually renewed, continually made over by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5 that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And during our weeks together in this spring season, we've been looking at the life of Peter. Peter as an example whose story demonstrates this kind of life that's a work in progress, that demonstrates the Spirit's work of transformation from the inside out. We see that things happen in Peter's life as God does that work to squeeze into him what is new and to displace or to transform what had been old. Peter's a new creation in Christ, but we see in his story that that is a process that unfolds over time, that what is new in him takes root slowly and grows. And we saw that Act 1 in Peter's transformation had to do with his vocation, literally meaning his calling. That one day as Peter and his brother Andrew were finishing up their day's work as professional fishermen, Jesus, on the shore of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, called to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Jesus was calling Peter to a new focus in life. He said, "You'll still be fishing, but your focus and your aim and your mission will shift." And so Peter would now use his skills and experience in a repurposed way for God's new mission in his life. And then last week, we saw Peter make another move, another transition through fear and into greater courage. As Peter walked on the water of that same sea, now raging in a storm, Peter was driven by his desire to be with Jesus and to go out on the water and do that same thing he saw Jesus do as he walked on the water. And we saw that in that process, his doubts got the better of him. He became fearful of the wind and the waves. His courage would falter. But at the end of that story, Jesus gave him some rebuke, but also some encouragement and correction. Words that would strengthen his faith and open the door to more courageous moments ahead. Now, this morning, we'll look at another element of the metamorphosis, the transformation of Peter's life. And this is the transition from a pattern of rather reactive impulsiveness to a more steady habit of thoughtful responsiveness. Now, Peter, probably more so than any of the other disciples, was famous for his knee-jerk reactions, famous for foot and mouth responses. He seemed to have a propensity for his mouth to be operating a few steps ahead of his brain. Now, he wasn't dumb. He was a thoughtful guy. And in fact, it was part of his I think, all-in commitment to Jesus. He was focused on Jesus as his rabbi and teacher and Lord. And this often led him into the habit of just doing something rather than be non-responsive to the presence of who he believed to be the Messiah. But sometimes he focused on just doing something rather than taking a moment to consider what might be most helpful. I think of the episode when Jesus invited Peter, James, and John to follow him up onto a mountainside. And there the body of Jesus was transfigured into glowing, radiant, white, bright light. And we're told that Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking with Jesus in that moment. And Peter blurted out, "Master, it's a good thing we're here. We'll build shelters, tabernacles for you and Moses and Elijah." And I love the parenthetical remark that Luke adds. He did not know what he was talking about. Peter just couldn't believe what he was seeing, but he knew he was seeing something amazing. He knew he was standing on holy ground, and he felt it in his bones that some response, some action was absolutely necessitated. To not respond in some way was simply unacceptable to Peter. And we see that he had this restless energy that seemed to always be fidgeting its way out. And this restless energy is something we see Peter exhibiting time and time again in the stories of the Gospels and of the book of Acts. And sometimes we see that this tendency serves him well. As we've already seen, when Jesus came along the shore of Galilee that day and said, "Drop your nets and follow me," Peter's like, "Fine, okay, here we go." He responded instantly, dropping everything and following this teacher. But there were other times when this restless energy manifested really as kind of an impetuous impulsiveness that wasn't necessarily helpful. Years after Peter had left his fishing gears on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he found himself in a garden grove late at night with Jesus and the other disciples. Judas had betrayed Jesus, and so an armed band was coming to arrest him. "Who is it that you want?" Jesus asked. "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. And Jesus answered, "I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" We read that story in John 18. And Jesus was referring here to the cup of suffering that he knew was part of God's plan for him, part of the path to the cross as part of God's plan for salvation. And Jesus that night was determined to go peacefully with this arresting mob, not because he was intimidated by them, but because he knew he was in step with the Father's plan. Peter exhibited again and again this tendency to act first and ask questions later. I don't think it's any coincidence that he was the one that just happened to have a sword. And this impulsiveness sometimes led him into trouble, down the wrong track. But we do see that over time, God was doing a work in Peter. God was doing this transformational work in his life. And this led him more and more from a pattern of impetuous impulsiveness and more toward a habit of thoughtful responsiveness. And this was a work of the Holy Spirit in Peter. I don't think this came naturally to him. To stay more in tune with the Spirit's work, increasingly in step with the Spirit's promptings in and through Peter's life. Now, if we look at the New Testament, we see that this Apostle Peter would go on to write two letters to Christian believers. We have those in our Bibles as 1 and 2 Peter. And then Paul, in one of his letters, the book of Galatians, makes a passing reference to Peter. But the last time we actually kind of read a story about Peter is in Acts 15. And there we read that certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the Christian believers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas, who had been ministering there and teaching, into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem and see the apostles and elders about this very question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. And this news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had been doing through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "These Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." Probably not a surprise that even Christian converts from Judaism who had been Pharisees still clung to this centrality of the law of God. And the apostles and elders met to consider this question. And then we read, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." And so Peter here in this argument is using circumcision specifically as a symbol for the whole law of God, which he says God's people had never been able to live out faithfully. And so he makes a very convincing argument. But I have to admit that as I hear this story, I have to stop and ask, wait a minute, this is Peter? Like we're reading about Peter here who's sitting through a long discussion quietly. And then when everything simmers down, finally decides to stand up and present a well-articulated case. And so as I look at that story, it seems clear to me that by this time in the history, not only of the early church, but in the life of Peter, that Peter has seen some things. He's been shaped by his experiences, not only being with Jesus, but also seeing how God's Spirit was at work in the life of the early church and in his own life. And we see God's Spirit working through Peter in this assembly. Because after further discussion on this matter, we read that James spoke up and said, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon," that is Peter, "has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." And the council there concluded that circumcision would not be required for believers in Jesus. One element of Peter's story that's so encouraging to me is that his transformation clearly didn't happen overnight. It was an ongoing process. Peter's emergence into this life that he was given in Christ, life as a new creation, happened apparently over stages, over the course of months and even years. And in particular, this movement within him from impulsiveness to responsiveness seemed to be a lesson that he needed to keep revisiting. He had to keep relearning. It was a habit he needed to keep working on, and that's encouraging to me. In Acts 15, we heard Peter refer to that moment when God had chosen him to speak to Gentiles. Well, actually, if we look at that story, we see it took a bit of convincing on God's part to get Peter there. We read in Acts 10 that one day Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds, meaning foods that were clean and unclean mixed together. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And we read that while Peter was trying to make sense of this vision and figure out what it meant, he heard that there were some men who had arrived from a distant town and said, there's a Roman centurion whom God has sent you to go proclaim the good news to. A Roman centurion, kind of the epitome of Gentiles, of an unclean person. And he went and shared the good news with this centurion and the whole household. Paul understood that in this vision, he wasn't just being taught about foods that God was making pure and clean, but about people whom he sought to cleanse and call to himself. This movement from reacting to responding was a process for Peter. Even as he received this vision, did you hear his knee-jerk, "No, never, I won't do that, Lord"? And even as he heard those words tumble from his lips, I wondered if he was reminded of earlier "no, never" moments. Did he possibly remember that time when Jesus told his disciples, "I'm heading to Jerusalem where I will be killed"? And Peter had shouted, "No, never, Lord." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God." Peter was reacting, not seeking to make sense of what God might be up to in this moment. There was a time, too, when Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples as they gathered for a meal in what we call the Last Supper, before Jesus was betrayed and handed over to be killed on the cross. And Peter alone, out of those disciples, said, "No, never, Lord, you will not wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Well, then you can have no part in me unless I wash your feet." And then I love it. Peter goes full reactive, full pendulum mode, and says, fine, then wash my head, wash my hands, wash all of me, because I want to be all in with you. And I wonder if Jesus had perhaps a little bit of a patient smile on his face and said, "Peter, it's okay. I just need to wash your feet." It seems that Peter was wired to be in this all or nothing mode, to be in instant response mode all the time. And sometimes it served him well, and other times his natural impulses needed to be submitted to the work of the Spirit, needed to be tempered and shaped and guided by the work of the Spirit and by the teachings of his Lord Jesus. As we gather each week to look at the life of Peter, we see the many ways that God was at work in him, doing this transforming and renewing work. We see how his time with Jesus changed him in so many ways. And each week, this is our opportunity to look at our own lives and see how is it that God might desire to be at work in us, doing that transforming work by the same Spirit that was mightily at work in the life of Peter. How might we open ourselves to God's invitation to do a work of renewal and transformation in us? And each week we use the life of Peter as a lens to take a look at our own lives and situations. And today, as we examine the life of Peter and as we see his transformation over time as an ongoing process, we can ask ourselves a couple of questions as well. First, what tends to feed our own impulsiveness? Now, we saw that Peter was wired in a certain way, and I'm sure there's a huge range of how we're each wired in this room this morning. Maybe some of you aren't wired this way at all. You tend to be more reserved, more thoughtful, more responsive. But even if that's the case, you might recognize that there are times in your mind when, if everything's calm, cool, and collected on the outside, your brain's going crazy. There are things that do trigger you that lead to inner turmoil and chaos and this desire to respond first and think later. So whether we tend to be reflective or reactive, I think it's helpful for us to ponder and to ask God to reveal to us what's behind our impulsive moments. Is it fear? Is it some sense of indignation? Is it a sense of pride? Maybe there are times when, like Peter, we feel like we need to defend Jesus. And then we come to realize that Jesus is saying, no, it's okay, you put away your sword. I can take care of myself. I'm following the Father's will. And perhaps we've convinced ourselves to trust our gut reactions a little too well, to trust that they're always right, or to trust our brains that we always seem to have the right answers. And so we might as well blurt them out in the midst of all these frustratingly wrong people. Or maybe like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, we think that serving and following Jesus means we always have to be doing something. That inactivity is a sign of weakness or lack of faith. We're not comfortable with what that looks like. We can ask what feeds our own impulsiveness. And then we can ask what might fuel our responsiveness as God does that work of renewal and transformation within us, transforming us into less impulsive disciples of Jesus, increasingly responsive and submitted and thoughtful followers of Christ. I think that in order for Peter to sit through that long argument that's recorded in Acts 15 before he spoke up, he must have been practicing some skills over time. And when he does speak up, it's interesting that what he talks about is what he had already seen God do. He says, you know that there was that time when God appointed me to teach the Gentiles. You know there was that time when God changed my mind about how to respond to the people whom God loves. And I wonder if one way for us to curb our impulsiveness is to get in the habit of developing that habit, the habit of asking ourselves in charged situations, well, how have I seen God act in the past, maybe in similar circumstances? How have I seen God work, and how does that help me understand what God might be up to in this situation, in this moment? I think that kind of question is going to lead us into thoughtful reflection that might keep some of our knee-jerk reactivity at bay. I'm really grateful for the Adult Formation Ministry team and the session they put together for all of us gathered here at 11 o'clock this morning as we meet in the gathering place. It's a time to gather exactly around this conversation and question. How can we open ourselves up to God's transforming work in us as he moves us more into Christ-likeness and to be the disciples he longs for us to be? Specifically, perhaps, as he moves us away from unhelpful impulsiveness and toward thoughtful, spirit-led responsiveness. This will be an opportunity for us to connect some dots in our own lives about how God's scripture and the story of Peter might impact our own lives and decisions. I'm really encouraged we have an example of someone like Peter. I look at him and I can see a lot of myself in him. Someone who grows over a long period of time, who keeps needing to be reminded of those same lessons and given opportunities to relearn them. I'm encouraged to see that God never gave up on him, that God kept working on him, working in him, working through him. I'm encouraged to see that the time Peter spent with Jesus kept making a difference, even after Jesus had ascended to heaven and was no longer physically with him. Peter's a good reminder that God isn't done with any of us, that he'll keep working in us and through us, and that continued growth and transformation are not only possible, but are exactly God's plan for us as his Spirit continues to do what only God's Spirit can do. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you still call people to follow you, to join you in the things that you are doing in this world. Thank you for your patience with us as we follow that call, often with fits and starts and with stumbling along the way. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is doing that deep work of transformation and renewal within us. Thank you, God of love and grace, for making us new creatures in Christ. Guide us by your Spirit into habits that honor you and that reflect the character of your Son, Jesus. We ask and pray all of this in his holy name. Amen.